to it, or why, so soon after her hysterics of grief for Serapha, his bint had been ready, nay, eager, to pleasure herself groggy with your correspondent, on whom, I may say, she worked her wicked will twice more before daybreak. The naughty little glutton. Seeking consolation? Obeying mistress's orders? Beglamoured by Flashy's whiskers? Who could tell? A moment ago I said that I knew women, and I should have added that what I know is that there's no explaining 'em, or understanding 'em, or telling what they'll do next. If you're lucky enough to be bedded, unexpected, with a beauty like Serapha's wench, you must just follow the wisdom imparted to me by an Oriental lady of my acquaintance, after she'd filled me with hashish and ridden me ruined. Lick up the honey, stranger, and ask no questions. So I didn't. Rising late and greeting Ulaba Walk and her household with cheerful composure and not a word or sign to suggest that I'd spent half the night trollop wrestling. That Serapha's lass had been less discreet was plain from the reluctance of Ulaba's ladies and elder statesmen to meet not only my eye but my presence, and the shameless giggling and whispering of the bosom brigade when they served me breakfast. I confessed I'd hoped that Ulaba herself might have her curiosity piqued by my nonchalance, but if it was, she didn't show it. Her first words to me were that Yando and his gang hadn't put in an appearance, so we should be able to set off south next day.
But he may be about still on the watch, so we shall ride out before dawn. There will only be the two of us, remember, without Serapha and his man to scout, so we must go warily and quickly. Come, I show you the way we must follow in the dark.
The vantage point was the top of the far tower overhanging the valley, which we reached up various ladder stairs. And a pretty picture she made, climbing nimbly in her little leather tunic, with Flashy panting wearily in her wake. I was breathless by the time we reached the roof, despite a brief rest while I studied a peculiar contraption in the top chamber. A massive hook, dangling in the middle of the room from a rope which ran over a great wheel in the ceiling to a windlass near the wall. Most sinister it looked. But when I asked Ulaba about it, she said simply, "That is the dungeon," and directed my attention to the astonishing panorama before us. South, in the misty distance, towered the huge silver peaks of the Ab Highlands. Beyond, a vast rocky plateau, crisscrossed by forested strips and ravines. Immediately below us, at a depth so dizzy that I automatically kept a hold on the parapet, lay the valley floor. A boulder-strewn river bottom, along which a thin thread of silver indicated the stream which flowed out of a jungly cleft 10 miles away.
"That is our road, along the river to the woods," says Ulaba. "Once under cover of the trees, we shall be safe from pursuit. If we should be parted in the dark, we shall rendezvous by the white rocks yonder, where the river emerges. If I don't arrive in 12 hours,
she pointed to the mountains,
"Lake Tana lies beyond the ranges. You remember the names of the river and the village, and the compass bearing. You are sure?" "Good. Well, since I see that you are more intent on staring foolishly at me than in studying the road on which your life depends, I suggest that we go down, and you can use the rest of the day changing yourself from a moonstruck Farangi soldier into an Indian traveller with his wits about him. Come."
She said it with a smile, ever so pleasantly, and she looked so delectable in that shiny leather corset, of which I had been mentally stripping her, that I thought, "Oh, what the devil, the blazes with pretences, let's have the cards on the table. Hold on," says I, and took her gently by the arm as she moved past me. She turned in mild surprise, and I'll swear she expected lustful assault then and there. So I stared into those proud, fearless eyes for a long moment, and then said, "You have the damnedest way of punishing insolent slave girls, haven't you?" A split second's bewilderment, and then delight that I'd been first to mention it.
"Punishment? You think that was why I sent Mali to you?"
She started to laugh.
"I do not believe it. You have far too brave an opinion of yourself to think you could be a penance to any woman. Punishment, indeed."
"Well, thank you, ma'am. But you did speak of whipping or selling her, you know."
"Awful talk. What, whip or sell Mali, who was my playmate, who prepared my bridal bed, who will give her life for me even as Sarafa did. I owe her too much kindness and friendship for that.
So much kindness that